There it is. Good evening, everybody. Wow, you guys are doing awesome tonight. Let's try that in again. Good evening, everybody. All right, this side sounds fantastic. There wasn't much coming over here. I said everybody. I didn't say hey, guys. So good evening. We are so excited that you guys are back. We are ecstatic. Are you guys ready to get back into this and jump right back in and get some good stuff? Man, it was different. It was different not to be able to be here, you know, missing water and power, but we're back. We're ready to learn some more. We've compacted everything. We're going to get through all of the material, okay? You guys aren't going to miss out because we missed some weeks, but we're going to get it all, okay? It's going to be in there. And the biggest thing about this is not only we're going to get some teaching the next couple weeks because we're really close to the retreat, but also you guys have to come to the retreat. So were we able to get any of those slides for the retreat really quickly? I want to talk to you guys about the retreat, okay? Because I know we push this day after day after day, but there's a reason we push the retreat, because it is worth it, okay? You get the opportunity to get away from worldly things and get out just with other Christians and get deeper into God's presence and around him and allow him to build you up and make you the person you need to become. If you want to have a true encounter, you have to step away from the things of this world and step into God's presence. And the best way to do that is through a retreat. And that's why we push this retreat upon you guys. Okay, the retreat is, there it goes, March 18th and 20th through the 20th. Okay, it's at Water's Edge Encampment. All right, for you ladies, let's think about this. When you're at a retreat, do you guys like to, like, get out into nature and be able to sit and just look? Like, there's an awesome pond there, okay? And at that pond, I want you to be able to, where you can sit out on a back porch, you can spend your time with God, and it's your opportunity to spend that time with God. Now, with guys, I want to tell you this. If you've ever been to camp before, camp food can be not so good. Well, let me tell you something. The food is good, okay? And you will be full, okay? When I say that, it's not going to be like, well, I'll be hungry by the time the next meal comes on. No, you'll be full up to that next meal, and you'll be full again. So the food is good. The view is good, okay? So it's at Water's Edge Encampment in Crockett, Texas. Man, what was that? All right, next, please. Next slide. So this is the next slide. It's amazing. Okay, there we go. There's great times, great fun, great memories, all right? There's a place to eat, there's a place to hang out. Look, there, you can see the deck overlooking the pond. That deck is amazing, okay? And in some mornings, there's a nice little fog that rolls off of it. It is beautiful. So it's gorgeous, relaxing views, new and improved deck and recreational area additions. Excellent all-you-can-eat food accommodations, okay? I know I said that, but it's there again, all right? There is food, all right? I might not look like it, but I do like food, okay? All right, next one. All right, there's leisure time. There's games and loads of fun. There's, like, if you look at the top right picture, there's the largest, like, cornhole game in the world, if you like that. It's, like, with big old pillows, okay? Or now it's, like, sandbags maybe. I don't know, okay? And awesome worship. I don't know if that was up there or whatever. Awesome, awesome worship. So the worship team actually comes with us and leads us in worship each day, okay? Next one. All right. You also have quiet moments of reflection. You can have fun together in groups and enjoy lessons you can use in your daily life. You make lifetime friendships. You become a part of something greater. You leave fulfilled, and our guarantee is, or you get your money back. If you go to encounter, if you go to the retreat, and you don't feel like God has moved in your life and it wasn't worth your time, we will give you your money back because it's a guarantee. There is a reason, if you look out here at your table hosts and the people that have the shirts on that are helping out, there's a reason that we believe in this, because we've all gone through it, and now we're here to try to bring other people into their own encounter with God, okay? And we believe in it. That's why it's not that we believe in it. We know it. We trust it. We know it's a process that works as long as you put everything you have into it, okay? I think there is one more. Okay, yeah. Encounter Christ list, never before. What? Is that how? Did I read that right or did I read that wrong? Like, okay, I was like, let me put this out there. I am dyslexic, so I was like, maybe I read that wrong, okay? So I had to look at it a couple times, okay? You can encounter Christ like never before. So much better, okay? Man, yeah, so. Let's try that again. So you're going to encounter Christ like never before. It's going to be a totally new experience. You're going to learn powerful lessons to empower you for your day-to-day, become a part of something even greater. Really quickly, you guys have to make this a priority in your life. one thing I want to tell you really quickly is not just when you come to Encounter. Encounter is not to look at the person next to you and say, hey, what they got going on, I want that exact thing. I'm going to have that exact same encounter. No, you're not going to have the exact same encounter, because God will encounter your life in a different way by each and every single. If you take that opportunity, you'd go through these classes, then you go on the retreat, and then God will give you an encounter. You need to look to what God wants to do for you. Don't worry about the person on your right or your left, because everybody's going to encounter it a different way. Go for your own encounter experience. If you have questions, talk to your table host. They will answer or find answers to any questions you might have. A formal information session on March 14th after last encounter lesson for all additional details, so we'll give more details later. Okay, before I go on, ponder these questions. This is probably mainly for the guys. I know there's some ladies that are really big into sports, but if you were on a team and you won every game of the season, including the playoffs, would you pass up the championship game? I mean, think about that. If you won every game, you've gone undefeated, you've gone all the way through the playoffs, you get to the championship game, are you just going to walk away? Okay, if you've gone through all these classes, that's the same thing. Are you going to leave it alone? No, you need to go to the retreat, because that is the championship game. Why would every Encounter team member attend multiple retreats and pay their own way every semester if it was not an incredible event? Could it be because the retreat is truly that good? Just ponder these questions. If you were given a 3-day opportunity to change your life forever, not just partly, but forever, for the better, would you take it? If you're looking at something to better yourself, are you going to take that opportunity? Okay, we're going to keep pushing the retreat. We're only 3 weeks away. 3 weeks away from the retreat, all right? If you guys need any help in any way to get to the retreat, talk to one of us. We will help you in some ways, okay? We are here because we want you to have your encounter with God and your experience with Him to make your life better. All right. On that note, I'm going to bring up Courtney Mendoza, and she's going to give you a little bit of of her testimony, I think, for the retreat. Awesome. So let's welcome Courtney Mendoza.
Thank you. How's everybody doing tonight? Good. I'm so excited to be with you guys tonight. I'm passionate about Encounter because I have seen God change lives again and again through this process. My own life being one of the lives that has changed and has continually changed. It's actually hard for me to just give one moment, one testimony. I've actually had the opportunity to go to a few Encounter retreats. But let me just say that even as a leader, and even every single leader in this room, Derek was just talking about the leaders paying their way to go. It's not just because of their passion to see other people experience the freedom and the work that God's done in their lives, but God is continuing to move in all of us. And every single time I've been to an Encounter retreat, God has done something incredible in me, whether I was expecting it or not. He came in and did something in my life. And I am coming to this moment to encourage you to be a part of the retreat, because everything that Derek just said is true. It's so vitally important. You would not go for a college degree and ask a university to give you a degree if you had not taken some of the most important courses in that degree program. You wouldn't get the degree. The university wouldn't grant it. And to go through this whole process and not go to the retreat would be so sad. It would just be like that, like an incomplete on a college transcript. There's so much more, and I know that it can be a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of time, maybe of work schedule, maybe of finances, childcare. I know that it's a sacrifice, but it is so worth it, guys. But what I want you to know, when I thought about what do I need to say, how can I encourage them? Guys, I want you to know that the Encounter Retreat is not just about what you are going to experience March 18th through 20th, 2021. I believe that God is going to meet you there and blow you away. But it is not, this whole process is not just about January through March 2021 and this incredible experience, although it is going to be that. And although I believe you will have moments like I have, like every person in this room has, where I could take you to the place and I could tell you the moment and I could say, this, it was this session, it was that moment, it was at this spot that I met God in an incredible way. But guys, what God taught me through encounter and what he has done in me through this process continues to work in me as I live out this faith journey. He has more and more freedom for you. Guys, finding freedom is not a check the box one time, okay, I'm good, I'm done. He has more and more and more freedom for us. And what you're learning through this process, he will continue to use. You're going to have tools and resources that are in your tool belt. And that as you walk this Christian life, the Holy Spirit is going to help you identify things in the future. And because you went through this process, you're going to be able to receive freedom from those issues or from those scenarios or from those circumstances down the road because of what you've done here. Guys, it's not just about this moment in time, these few months that you've given to this process. These are things that will, if you take them with you, if you use them, if you remember them, it will continue to change your life for years and years to come. Because that's just how incredible God is. He always has more. And so I just encourage you guys, go to the retreat. Make the sacrifices. We make sacrifices for things that are worth it, don't we? For kids, for family. I am telling you from experience, it is 100% worth it. Not just for a life-changing moment and memory, but for the future in your walk with the Lord. So I encourage you guys with that.
I'm glad you said the one part about, like, even every time that we go, we get something new out of it. Because I've noticed every time I've gone, I've gotten something more out of it. I'm going to talk really quickly about the first time I went. I had a lot of bitterness in me. I've been through a lot of things in my life, and I had a lot of bitterness in me. And I came into the class originally, and the first week, I couldn't find anybody to take my kids. And so the first week, I got kind of mad because the church didn't have childcare. I had nowhere to take my child, and so I was about to leave. Luckily, a friend who likes to cry a lot, you can figure out who that is, stopped me and said, "You have to go." So I actually brought my child into the class, and I was still mad because I'm having to pay attention to him and make sure he's not messing around and goofing off. You guys know, the ones that have kids, you know, you have to be like, "Stop, I'm trying to pay attention." So I was still mad. And I already had bitterness on other reasons in my heart. And it wasn't until, I guess, halfway through the second day at the retreat that finally God broke that bitterness from me. I mean, I was still angry at the retreat. I wasn't even glad I was there. I was like, I got to do this because I said I signed up for the class. I'm going to go, all right, because they pushed it on me. But about second day through it, God opened my heart and took a lot of that bitterness from me. And you know, as a Christian, you're still going to stumble and fall. You still have those times of stuff. But, I mean, he took a lot from me, and it was because of the retreat. The retreat allowed me to open up and be free on some of the things that I was holding in. Okay, holding in as a man, saying, I'm good enough, I can do this all on my own, I can take care of everything, I don't need somebody else to help me out, I've got this, okay, I'll do everything for my kids, nobody else needs to help me, I got this. And then slowly through that retreat, I realized, I can't do this on my own, God. I can't control what my kids are going to do over here when I'm not with them. I can't control the actions they're going to do when they go here, and so I had to release all that bitterness and release my kids to God, and it was because of the retreat that got me through that. Another thing that I noticed is I had the opportunity, one of my best friends was there with me on the retreat, and he completely just flipped his life around. At that point, he was going through a whole lot in his mind, and the retreat actually flipped him around and helped him in a whole lot of other ways, but it was because of the retreat. But also, this gentleman was kind of like me. We've volunteered and worked in the church a whole lot in our lives, and so we felt like we didn't really need anything else, but it was the encounter that helped us grow and go that way. So go to the retreat. My gosh. I didn't introduce myself. I forgot to do that. So anyways, I'm Derek Walker, in case you guys want to know that. So hi, I'm Derek. Before we get to the next thing, I know we pushed the retreat, but we also have the classes. And on the classes, what we're doing is we're giving you information to help you get yourself into the encounter with God. Last semester, I shared a really quick thing, and I'm going to do that really quickly. And it's, we're giving you guys tools to figure out how to get your encounter with God. Okay, so I'm going to start with the men. Men, when I talk to you, have you guys ever had somebody go get you one of those Walmart kits to build shelves or anything like that? Have you guys ever built any of those? And they come like 500 little screws, okay? If I come to you and say, here's a butter knife, put that thing together, Are you going to get it together? Probably. Is it going to be the best? Probably not, because you're not using the right tool, right? Women, if you like to cook, I'm not saying all women like, it's only women that like to cook. I'm not, you guys, if you like to build, that's on you also. Okay, I'm not saying that, because we know Justin likes to cook. Yeah. All right, so if you like to cook, if I say, hey, I want you to make me a cake, but I give you a shovel and say, hey, use this shovel, are you going to make the cake? Probably. Is it probably going to be a little too salty? Probably, okay, because you don't have the right tool, okay? All right, does that make sense? Okay, because you're not using the tools that are made for the job. You're not using the screwdriver. You're not using the cups to measure your teaspoons, everything like that. You got a shovel, okay? What we're doing in this class is giving you tools. We're trying to give you the tools, the right tools to use to help you have your encounter with God. So with that, we're going to our next session, and let's give a big round of applause for Mr. Justin Lindsay.
All right. I like what Derek just said there about the tool. So I want to look at it. I want to look at something real quick that I think when I was standing over there, this just kind of illuminated itself to me, is we talk about the retreat, and we talk about this class and the importance of coming to class, the importance of going to the retreat. And yes, we do it because we know the effects of. We know the power that comes when you go through this process. And I can tell you from where I've been in my life to where I'm at right now, one of the main things that I want is I want people to experience what I've experienced through Christ. It has transformed me. It has changed every single thing about my life. And so that's why I'm so passionate about it. That's why I'm here on a Sunday night away from my kids. It's not for me. It's not that I get paid to do this. I mean, I'm on staff, but I did this way before I was on staff. I do this because I still want more. I want more. Because I've seen what God can do, and there's nothing else more satisfying in this world than being close to Christ and having that peace of the Spirit of God in your life. Nothing more satisfying. There's not a drink, there's not a food, there's not a relationship, there's not a job that's more satisfying than knowing the peace of Jesus Christ. But how do we get these things? There's a process in which we get them. And so week one and two, all right, we talked about how to encounter God. Week two, we talked about alignment. All right, and we've given you some real good overviews of what it looks like if you come to experience God and encounter Him. And then we give you a broad spectrum of, okay, a life in alignment and a life out of alignment, what it looks like. But if you know anything about the Bible, God will give you all these overviews, but there is a call to action. He is going to call us to do something. Okay, what does a football team do before they ever play the first game? They've got two-a-days, right? They've got practices. And in that, they give them, like Derek said, the proper tools so that they can be successful. Unfortunately, somehow Tom Brady pulled another one off, and I'm still not over it. But somewhere down the road, someone gave that joker the right tools to win championships. It was not speed, that's for sure. But they give him something, right? What I want to do tonight is I want to give you some tools. I want to equip your toolbox. But what I want to do is a call to action. All right, I'm fixing to put some responsibility on you now. Because we don't want you to, we would never ask, no team would ever ask, no coach would ever ask their team to sit out the whole season and then jump into the championship game at the end if they could. They get destroyed. We want to equip you not just for today, but the tools that we're giving you is to equip you for tomorrow, is to equip you for next week, is to equip you for Snowmageddons. Hey, that's one common thing we all have. That's a common thread. Did anybody in here have a little bit disruptive week last week? If you didn't, come on now. Is that all? One person in here had a rough week? It's okay to shout it out loud. There we go. I went 7 days without water and electricity, and I have a high-maintenance wife and 3 high-maintenance daughters. I needed Jesus. Oh, hey, baby. I needed the tools that Christ has given me. I'm serious. So as believers, when you go through something traumatic like that, guess what? We're called to walk a certain way through that. We're called to honor the lineman that's working day and night. We're called to honor the man that's in front of you at the gas station that's not getting gas quick enough because you need to get your gas and get back to the house, right? Jeremy Charbo, he's a cop here in town. He said one of the things he did most was break up fist fights at the gas station. We have a responsibility and a duty to walk a certain way. Tonight we're going to talk about walking in the Spirit. You're going to walk one of two ways in life. You're going to walk in the Spirit or you're going to walk in the flesh. And how you walk will show in your everyday life. The results will exude themselves in your everyday life. You cannot get away from the results of your walk. And I'm going to give you a roadmap tonight of how to walk in the Spirit. What does it actually mean? What does those words, walking in the Spirit, mean? Well, I got something exciting to say right now. Is there's two things that we do as believers with Christ. We're usually, some of us are waiting in our mind for God to do something, right? God, I'm waiting for you to help my business so I don't go under. I'm waiting for you to fix my marriage. I'm waiting. And I think we get that kind of backwards. Because if God is who he says he is, God has already established everything he has for us. And I'm going to tell you tonight that God has, I can guarantee you, I don't know exactly everything God has established for your life because I don't know his plan for you completely. But I can tell you one thing that he has planned for every one of his children. One of them's power. Does anybody in here need a little more power in their life? Come on now. Does anybody in, hey, y'all got to get with me. Does anybody in here want a little more power in their life? Nobody goes to the dealership and says, please give me an electric car. If we could afford it, everybody would get a big old diesel because we all need more power. Do you want some more power tonight, Encounter? All right, wake up, let's go. How about peace? Does anybody in here need a little more peace tonight? I don't know about you, but I could use some peace in my life. How about vision, clarity? Wouldn't it be good to be able to see around that curve tomorrow of what's coming up? Amen. How about strength in the middle of a struggle? Strength and power are two different things. Two different things. How about purpose? I have never met a person that said, you know what? I love that I don't have a purpose for life. I don't know about you, but the two most important days I finally figured out in my life, the first one was when I was born. The second one was when I figured out why. When I figured out why, what was I put here, God? Why did you put your DNA fingerprint on Justin Lindsay? It wasn't to do what I did the first 35, 37 years of my life. It wasn't. Because I didn't walk in the flesh, I sprinted in the flesh. But God says, you know what, I still want to use that one. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday, guys, gals, ladies, God still wants to use you. And I'm fixing to show you how to walk in to what's awaiting you. Because we don't have to ask God for these things. They're established. They're established. They're waiting. When y'all pulled in the parking lot tonight, guess what? We were waiting on y'all to come. But y'all walked into a class awaiting you. These tables were set up. The snacks were here. The coffee was here. The drinks were here. Your table host was here. The team was here. You walked into something that was already created waiting for you, correct? Well, guess what? God has power, peace, strength, vision, hope, purpose, awaiting each and every one of you in here tonight. Amen? You don't have to wait for it tonight. You don't have to wait for it no more. The enemy says, oh, he'll use the Bible against you. Oh, just wait a little bit more. God will show up. But until then, how about we do this? And the more we walk in the flesh, the further we get away from what awaits us. It slows us down. So I'm fixing to give you a simple roadmap. Here it goes. We're going to go through this pretty quick. Galatians 5 and 25, the first word in that scripture says, if we live by the Spirit, if we live by the Spirit, we have a choice in this, guys. Make your decision tonight. Are you tired of walking in the flesh? Do you want to walk hand in hand with God? If we walk, live by the Spirit, he says, let us also walk by it. And 5 and 16 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. If the Bible is not the compass of your life, throw the rest of it away, because it will lead you straight to a pit of hell. Dr. Phil cannot do it for you. Budweiser will not do it for you. I know. I'll give them half my salary. Drugs will not get you there. Your spouse cannot get you there. Your money cannot get you there. The Holy Spirit, through the presence and the Word of God, will walk you right into what you're waiting for. He'll walk you right into it, because God has it established for his kids. I can show you all through the Bible of where God has the promises awaiting for his kids. Romans 8, 14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We're all children of God in here. Let's allow the Spirit to begin to lead our life. And this is how you do it. Number one, you daily choose to follow God's word, not your ways. You daily choose. Here's our action, guys. I daily make a choice to follow God, not me. How do I do that? Well, God give us the greatest instruction manual in the world. And it's called a Bible. I challenge anyone, bring me a problem you have in your life. I can show you how to deal with it in the Word of God. I can show you how to deal with it in the Word of God. But we have to daily choose to follow God's Word. You know, sometimes it just don't make sense. Well, God, that just doesn't make... You mean to tell me that you want me to forgive her for what she did? Absolutely. Absolutely I do. It's called humility. Is it tough? Yeah. You want to be a man? You want to see how tough you really are? Choose Christ every day. That'll test just how stout you are. Number two, I allow him. Those are strong words right there. You mean to tell me I can give God permission? Absolutely. It's called free will. I allow him to guide my decisions and renew my mind. So you're telling me that I can give God permission to guide my life? Well, what happens when I do that? It renews your mind. I could never figure out what God was calling me to do until I renewed my mind. Well, how did I renew my mind? I said, here, I was 37. I said, here, God, what? Let's try it your way now, because I'm tired. I'm wore out. Let's try it your way. And as my mind began to renew, and I begin to see things through the eyes of Christ, instead of the eyes of Justin, the garbage cans of Justin. You know how easier it was for me to make those righteous decisions? Because I was like, okay, well, every time that, wait a minute, when I step in this path of righteousness, some weight falls off my shoulder. Not physical weight, spiritual weight, some heaviness. Every time I choose to do it God's way, you know, that's a little lighter load right there. I can receive that instruction from that person a little bit more. I don't get so mad when someone cuts me off on the road. I allow God to renew my mind. Number three, you notice all of these start with I. Call to action. I deny the desires of my sinful flesh. Whoo, that's a big statement right there. Because I know what this old wicked flesh can do. I've seen it. It would scare you if my life reel was up on that screen right now. Matter of fact, I'd be willing to bet if any of our life was up on that screen right now, it'd scare all of us. But it doesn't matter no more. We all have the opportunity to choose today. We get to choose today to deny our flesh. our flesh is weak and rotten. But when we deny our flesh, that means we choose Christ. And when we choose Christ, it strengthens our spirit. The spirit will live forever. Your flesh is dying every day. It's weak. It has no strength. Your flesh will lead you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you way more than you can ever afford. That's what your flesh will do. But when I do these things, let's look at number four. When I deny the desires of my sinful flesh, guess what? I find it easier to obey God. Oh, wait a minute now. Let's not talk about obedience. That letter, that O word, I don't like that. I'm going to do me, and I'll fit God in. 2 Samuel, it says that obedience outweighs sacrifice any day. Any day. Because when we say, God, I'll follow you, what we do is we deny our own knowledge. We deny our own way and say, God, your way is better. But when we don't do that, you know what we say? It's not the sin, and I don't want to say that the wrong way. But when we choose to disobey God, what we're doing is we're saying, God, I'm bigger, smarter, and have my life more figured out than you do. Those are big words. And he will let you have the reins to your life if you choose it. He'll give it to you all day long because he knows where to lead. And then number five, here's the great thing about this. And I get to do this every day now. This is not a hard process encounter. All right, 4 years ago, what is it, 21? Yeah, 4 years ago, I was in a raving drunk, womanizer, crazy as I could be, and left my wife. That was 4 years ago. So it's not like this thing takes forever. I'm very transparent. Y'all gonna find that out. 4 years ago, there's no way I could stand on this stage and do what God called me to do. But the minute I surrendered, God said, okay, son, I'll walk this walk with you now, and this is what you're going to get to do. I get to experience the benefits of the abundant life Jesus gave me. Whew, I get to do this. Do I live in a big fancy house? No, not at all. No. If someone was to sue me, and they took everything I had, they would be like, listen, just let him keep it. It's going to cost me more fuel to get it back than what it's going to sell. I don't have nothing. If y'all see my truck, I'll drive the black truck with a bed liner all over it. Okay? Black Thunder. She's not fancy. She's paid for. Guess what? It was a gift from God. Okay? I don't live in an extravagant home by no means. I don't wear extravagant clothes. I don't eat extravagant. Wait a minute, I do extravagant meal because I'll be throwing down in the kitchen. But you know what? That's not what abundant life is. You know what abundant life is? Is I get to wake up. No, I get to go home tonight and know that God has me in his hand. That's what I get to do. I get to go home with my best friend that I call my wife. I get to raise my three beautiful children, and I get to do what God called me to do. That's abundant life. They want my truck, come get it. They won't never figure out how to fill the tank up. You got to know how to put gas in that truck. Come get it. That's not abundance. That's a blessing God give me. And I enjoy it, and I use it. But abundance is, guess what? They can take every single thing they want from me. Guess what? They can't take this. And guess what? If it was all in today, I would bust heaven wide open and dance on streets of gold. They can't get me. They can't eat me. They can't. Because my abundant life rests in the hand of Jesus. How do you get there? I daily choose to follow Christ. Here's your roadmap, guys. When I daily choose, I can't even see. Thank you, Jesus. He gave me these glasses, too. I know I got to wrap it up. So basically what I'm saying is when I daily choose God and give him permission to guide my life and make my way of thinking new, and I deny my sinful ways, I find it easier to obey him, and then I get to experience the benefits of the life Jesus created me to have through his death. That is the greatest roadmap that you could ever have. God says, I got such a purpose for you. I'm going to die on the cross, and all you got to do is follow me. That's it. Choose me today. Some of you in here are not living the life God intended you to live. Make the decision today to stop and say, God, show me the abundant life that you created for me. Matthew 7 says, seek, you'll find. Knock. He says, if you'll knock, I'll answer. God wants to open the door to your life today. But it begins with you. God's already done his part. Encounter, are you willing to do yours? I want to wrap up real quick and end this. I know I've gone over just a second. I'm sorry. I want to take a couple minutes at the table. Okay? A couple minutes at the table. And I want y'all to ask yourself this question. There is a key scripture below here in Romans 6 and 11. I encourage you to study it. It's got some amazing scripture in it, but I think it's more important for us to do this right now. I want y'all to ask this question at the table. Chris, if you will, key up a little bit of music. Ask this question. We're going to take about 3 to 4 minutes, 5 minutes. What struggles or obstacles are holding you back from moving forward? What is it in your life that's keeping you from moving forward? Mine was pride. Mine was pride. I was raised by a cowboy. You wasn't going to tell me what I was going to do, when I was going to do it. And if you thought you were going to fight me, you had the worst fight in your life on your hands. It cost me everything. You know what changed my life? Humility. What is it, what struggle, what obstacle in your life is keeping you from walking into what God has established for you? Let's take about 3 or 4 minutes. We're going to open the doors and take about a five-minute comfort break. If you're more welcome to keep talking at the tables, and so we'll get back going in about 5 or 6 minutes. Hey guys, as always, we want to be honoring of your time, and so we're gonna jump right into our next session. I love to see the conversations at the table. Hey, Jesus built everything he did on connections, man. He was the greatest communicator we'll ever know, but he spent a good portion of his time connecting and having conversations with his disciples. And life transformation happens when we connect with the brother or sister to the left and to the right of us. And so I just want to thank you again for all coming. We want to jump into this next session. We got a special treat tonight. One of my dear friends, she's on staff here. She's actually one of the original members of the original counter team. She's been with us from the beginning. She's helped in admin. She's helped teach. I love her to death. I give her a hard time, but I can tell you, don't let her size and stature fool you. She'll fight you. You got to watch them redheaded people. They're tough. Yeah, and she puts me in my place about every 30 minutes in the office, and I love it. But I adore her and her husband and her family. She has got one of the most precious little daughters in the world, and she rules the roost, and I love it. And it's Miss Courtney Mendoza. Come on up, Courtney.
Thank you, Justin. All right, I'm excited to jump into the second half of tonight's teaching. So Justin talked with you guys about what it is to walk in the Spirit. We heard some pretty good benefits, right? In the first portion of the teaching, didn't Justin do a great job? Give it up for Justin. So what I get the honor and privilege to talk to you guys is a little bit about how we walk in the Spirit, what it looks like, how can we do this in our daily lives. And I want to encourage you guys, like Justin said, to look at this key scripture, but I want to draw our attention to one statement in it before we jump into this next section. If you'll see that big paragraph, it's the last sentence of the big paragraph. It says, "Do you not know that if you continually surrender yourselves to anyone and do his will, you are the slaves of him whom you obey, whether that be to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness, right doing and right standing with God." And so when we're talking about how to walk in the Spirit, it really comes down to this statement. It is the source, the object of our continual surrender. It is the person who we choose to obey, whether we are continually surrendering and obeying sin, which is going to lead to death, or whether we are continually surrendering and obeying the Lord, which is going to lead to right standing with him. And so let's get into how to walk in the Spirit in this next section. The first thing that we have to do in order to walk in the Spirit is consider yourself dead to sin. Romans 6 verse 11a says, "Even so, consider yourselves also dead to sin and your relation to it broken." So what this means is that we no longer allow sinful reactions, behaviors, or attitudes to be an option in our lives. Do you hear that? They're not even an option for us anymore. When we've surrendered to Jesus and said, he's my Lord and Savior, I want to be a Christ follower, then it means that we have to begin to say no to the actions. We have to begin to say no to the behaviors that lead to sin and death in our lives. We have to say no to even the attitudes. And it's not just talking about the attitude that you show your boss when you're defiant, and it's not the attitude that you show your spouse or your family member when they're getting on your nerves, but it's even the attitudes that you don't show. We're talking about the attitude of your heart when you put on the face that looks like it's right and that looks like I'm having a peaceful attitude, but inside I'm walking away saying, gosh, they get on my nerves every single time. I can't believe my husband did that again. My wife is just getting on my ever-loving nerves. And inside, or we walk away and go and talk to our coworkers and say, did you hear what the boss said? Again, he's making us work those hours again. We were just here last weekend working extra hours. And we're stirring up those wrong attitudes, even though we may not show it to the person or even though we may not show it to anyone. Death to sin means that any sin, all sin, our relationship to it must be broken. Number two, we live in unbroken relationship with God. So the next part of that verse says our relation to sin is broken, but we're alive to God. So we're dead to sin so that we can be alive to God and live in unbroken fellowship with him in Christ Jesus, the Amplified Version says. What does unbroken mean? What does unbroken mean? Whole? Let me hear some other words that would describe if something is unbroken, not broken, what is it? Complete, continual. I heard some really good words there. Whole, complete, continual. It's intact. And so, guys, what we have to understand is that unbroken relationship with God, walking in the Spirit, means that our whole lives, we are completely unbroken in our relationship and fellowship with God. So we're going beyond this, okay, my relationship with God happens when I'm at church on Sunday morning or when I'm at church at Encounter on Sunday night or I'm at church on Wednesday night. We're even going beyond saying I am in relationship with God when I'm at church and when I'm in my time with him in the morning or in the evening or whenever it is that I have my time with him. But it's unbroken fellowship. Walking in the Spirit means that he's in every part of our lives, in every part of our day. We're taking him with us. We're seeing ourselves in relationship with him, walking in union with him. He is right there with us. That fellowship with him is unbroken. Guys, we are not called to on again, off again with God. We do not turn on faith in the morning when I am sitting down and having my quiet time and I've got my coffee and I've got my Bible and I've got my worship music and the kid's not up and my husband's not up and that's when I'm living a holy lifestyle. it's not turn it on and then turn it off and then go through the rest of my day and then go to work or then interact with my friends or interact with my family. It's continuous. It's called to be consistent, unbroken. So how do we get there? How do we get there? You have to, number three, surrender yourself to God. Surrender yourself to God. This means that we willingly make all parts of our lives available for his work. We're talking about the past. We're talking about the present. We're talking about the future. We're talking about our pain, our regrets. We're talking about our attitudes and our struggles. All of it. I surrender all of myself to him. Understanding that if I want this unbroken fellowship with God, then I have to surrender to him so that the sin stops getting in and breaking that fellowship with him. I have to be open completely to him. I want to read a portion of the verse that, that key scripture from Romans chapter 6 in the Message version, Romans 6 verses 12 through 14. Listen to this. Paul says, that means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Listen to this statement. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly, full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. It's for the sake of freedom that we're talking about this walking in the Spirit. Paul's saying, don't you see that every time you allow those little things to get in, every time you run those little errands, like the message version says, every time you allow those things to get in and get in the way, it's breaking that connection. It's causing a break in that relationship with God. And he wants you to live in complete freedom. But we have to resist those temptations. We have to get rid of the sin that breaks that relationship. It's not an option. Paul makes it so clear in this scripture. He's saying it's not optional. Jesus died on the cross so that you can live differently, so that you can get out from under the tyranny of sin. Does anybody in this room want to get rid of that weight, that oppression? From our lives, from our past, the habits and hang-ups and things that break us down, that leave us feeling empty, that constantly fill us with regret and pain. That's not the life that Jesus died to give you. The life Jesus died to give you is abundant. So when in surrender, we make all parts available, we also have to let go of pride. We have to let go of pride because the reality is that pride says, I know better than God. It's the chief sin. It's the sin that is the root of all other sins. Because even all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve knew the rules that God had set out for them, he'd said, this is the one, you can eat anything you want. This tree you can't. Obey me, live in fellowship with me. And the serpent came in and planted that doubt. Did God really say, did he really say that you were going to die? And they took that doubt, became a seed in their hearts and in their minds that caused them to say, I think I know better than God. I think I can handle that knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to take it and I'm going to eat it. And ever since then, every single sin, every single act that goes against what God says in his word, we're saying, even though we would hate to say it this way, even though maybe none of us would ever say it out loud, but every time we choose our way over his, we're saying, I know better than God. I can make a better decision for myself than God can make for me and for my life. So we have to let go of pride. And then we're not just talking about the big things. We're not just talking about the Ten Commandments. We're not just saying, okay, I'm going to let go of my pride and I'm not going to kill and I'm not going to steal or I'm not going to commit adultery. But it's in the little things too. James 4:17 says, he who knows the good he ought to do and does not do it, that is sin for him. So it's in the little things. It's in that anger problem that's getting a little bit out of control every once in a while. It's in those things that the Lord's been saying, that person needs a connection from you. You need to reach out to that family member. They need connection with you, or you need to heal that relationship. Or God's been convicting you about getting healthier so that you can survive for the long haul for your kids and for your family. That social media scroll that just leads to comparison and you're feeling hung up on other things, or you're just spending hours and hours scrolling and you're disengaged from your family and the Holy Spirit's been on your case about it. It's the little things too. We have to let go of pride that says, I can handle it. I can do it. It's not hurting anyone. We have to live in complete obedience to him, and we give up control. We give up control. Romans 6:19 says, I am speaking in familiar human terms because of your natural limitations. For as you yielded your bodily members and faculties as servants to impurity and ever-increasing lawlessness, so now yield your bodily members and faculties once and for all as servants to righteousness. Right being and doing, which leads to sanctification. That's becoming more and more like Jesus. And here's the thing, and here's the hope that I want to give you guys. Because walking in the Spirit can feel like, oh my gosh, I got to make sure that I do all these right things, and this can get really overwhelming because there's a lot. I'm not a perfect, anybody else in here not a perfect person? Okay, just me and two other people. Okay. It can be overwhelming because we're human. Because the sin nature causes us to mess up. I don't have perfect attitudes all the time. I don't make the right choices every single day. And so it can feel like, how could I possibly ever do this? How could I ever do this walk? I don't know. Maybe not. But the truth is that surrender gives us hope for walking in the Spirit. Because it gives us the pathway. Because when we're surrendering to the Holy Spirit, we're allowing him to guide our lives. It's not about checking off all the things and doing everything right and not doing any of the things that are wrong. The Holy Spirit is guiding me. The Holy Spirit is saying, shut your mouth. Don't say it. The Holy Spirit is giving that nudge. I need to reach out and do that thing. Or I can give a little bit more of myself. I can discipline myself in that area. I can go to the next level. I can go deeper. I can reach out to that person. I can avoid that thing or that place or that person that causes me to get into sin all the time. It's the Holy Spirit guiding us. He guides us every step of the way when we're surrendered to him, because then we're allowing him to guide us. Amen? Because notice the verse at the very beginning, Justin read it. Galatians 5:16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Let. Who does the letting? We do. We allow him to guide our lives, and then we will find ourselves walking in step with him. If we try to walk in the Spirit by checking all of these boxes and making this list of all the things we're going to do and all the things we're going to stop doing, we're going to miss the true transformation that God has for us. Because transformation, guys, is inside out. It's a changed heart that therefore comes out and overflows into our actions. Our lives change, guys. Our actions and attitudes and behaviors change as our hearts are transformed. And if you are trying to transform your heart by controlling your attitudes and your actions and your behaviors, you've got it backwards. And you'll never see the transformation that you want to see. And you'll always feel like you can't keep up and like you can never get it right. It's as we allow him to work, as we surrender to his work in our lives, that he transforms us from the inside out. And we see our lives begin to look more and more like Jesus, not because of anything that I've got going right, but because of everything that he is doing inside of me. It's his work. That heart transformation is him. We can't change our hearts, guys. We can't do it. Only he can do that work in us. Number four, you need to know your weaknesses. How can we find out our weaknesses? How can you know what your weaknesses are? Ask your spouse, somebody else. How else might we know? How can we look at yourself? What else? Ask God to reveal it to you. Yes. Ask God. Notice patterns in your life. Notice the situations that keep leading to the same result, to the same regret, to the same pain, to the same change. Was there anything in common? Was there something in common that got you there every time? Ask a trusted friend or family member, your spouse. Ask them. They probably see and may know some blind spots that you're not aware of. But guys, it's important to know and understand your weaknesses, because let me tell you, the enemy knows exactly what they are. Because he's using them every time, and it's getting you every time. So know what they are. Ask God to reveal those to you, to open your heart and your mind to see them and understand them, so that you can surrender to the Holy Spirit in those areas, and he can help you discern and avoid temptations and pressures in your life. But I want to give this clarification, because there's a verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13. You may have heard it before. It talks about no one is tempted beyond what we can bear, but when we are tempted, the Holy Spirit provides a way out for us. And there's a difference, guys, between that Spirit-empowered avoiding of temptation and common sense avoiding of temptation. Because there are temptations that come at us and we have no idea. It comes out of nowhere. All of a sudden, it's in front of us. We're tempted. In those moments, the Holy Spirit provides a way out for us. But there's also common sense avoiding of temptations that says, I know that this results in temptation, so I'm not going to go near that. I'm not going to open up my life to that. I'm not going to get into that situation. Because sometimes I think we're like, the Holy Spirit's going to provide a way out, so here I go. I'm just going to walk right into it. The Holy Spirit, get me out, get me out, get me out, get me out. And then we fall, and we're like, Holy Spirit, what'd you do? And they're like, you walked right into it. You knew that person was going to, you knew that person was the source of it. You know going to that place is going to lead to that situation. Like, common sense. So, yes, the Holy Spirit empowers us to avoid temptation, but we also need to, like, use a little common sense and the wisdom that the Lord gave us to avoid temptation too. Finally, number five, we make a choice. Make a choice. I emphasize in that scripture, we let the Holy Spirit guide our lives. We have the choice whether or not to accept the Holy Spirit's guidance, you guys. We make that choice. His guidance, his partnership in our lives is available to us. You can have as much of God as you want to have and more. And you, if you keep going after it, I promise you, you will never be satisfied, because he always has more for us. He will always make you thirsty for more. You can have as much of him in your life. You can have as much of his guidance and wisdom in your life as you choose to accept. The reality is that when we know the will of God but do not follow it, we are resisting the Spirit's work in our lives. When we know the will of God but do not follow it, we are actively resisting, pushing against God's work, the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Ephesians 4:30 says, "Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption." And this is actually part of my story. I've talked to you guys a little bit about the Encounter Retreat, but I saved a little piece because it fits right here. Because there was a time that I didn't realize it, but I was resisting the work that the Holy Spirit wanted to do in my life. Over a period of a couple of years leading into a time last year in 2020, God led me on a process of freedom. I'm so passionate about Encounter because what I learned in Encounter, I've seen God continue to use in my life. And he took me on a journey of freedom from a fear of failure that I didn't even know was in my life, that was holding me captive for most, if not all, of my adult life. And it held me captive in every single area of my life. I didn't even realize that this deep fear of failure was there. But before God did this work in my life, there was something that he did at my very first Encounter retreat experience. And there's some dots that God connected for me actually just recently. Because I've been walking through this journey, experiencing more and more of God's freedom. And I'm like, this is awesome. This is incredible. But it wasn't until just recently, as I was looking back over this process, that God's process, remember that incredible moment of freedom that you experienced. And look at this process that you've been on over the last couple of years. All of the moments of freedom that I experienced, the things that God has been doing in my life, they were all connected, building on each other. But that very first one wasn't really connected to all the others. Because what happened allowed a whole lot of bitterness retreat is God showed me that I had built up a whole lot of bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness to get into my heart. And I'm on staff at the church. And I began to feel unappreciated and feel like people didn't value me and feel like they didn't see the extra time and effort that I was putting in. And I listened to every lie of the enemy that said that I wasn't appreciated and got almost miserable. Almost miserable. Doing exactly what I felt like God was calling me to do. I was exactly where I felt like God had called me to be. And yet I was feeling miserable. And yet I was listening and believing those lies felt so true and so real in my heart and in my life. And God freed me. Thank you, Jesus. And showed that to me and enabled me to step away from those things and let go of them and forgive and receive his forgiveness for holding on to those things. But what I felt like God showed me just recently as I'm on the other side of this huge journey of freedom was he said, I had to get rid of that bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness that you had been holding on to before I could even start the work that really needed to be done in you. And by holding on to these things, because I guarantee you, there were moments when those lies of the enemy were in my ear that I thought that the Holy Spirit probably said, you know, that's not true. You know they don't really think that of you. You know they really do appreciate you. You know the people around you do value you. But it felt really good to nurse that wound and feel like they didn't. It felt really good to just wallow in my own self-pity. And it led me to a lot of pain that was completely unnecessary in my life. And I was resisting the work that God really needed to do in me by holding on to things that were not pleasing to him, to attitudes and behaviors in my heart that were destroying me from the inside out. When we resist his work in us, it creates delays in the journey. And that's not what God has for us. We must choose to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We have to choose to walk in the Spirit, guys, because the flesh is going to say, like, the flesh is going to pull hard. Like, what we feel, what we're feeling in that moment, what seems true, what our feelings are going to pull so hard. You guys know, our feelings can drive us, and they can take over, and then they go into overdrive, and we're just flowing on these feelings, and we fail to see the truth. We have to choose to allow the Holy Spirit to guide our lives, to listen to what he's saying, to look at what God's word says, to throw off our own feelings and our own beliefs about how something might be and look at what is true and allow the Holy Spirit to show us what is true. Galatians 5:25, if we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must also walk by the Spirit. With personal integrity, godly character, and moral courage, our conduct empowered by the Holy Spirit. if we walk in the Spirit, we're going to experience personal integrity as we're changed from the inside out. We're going to see godly character as He transforms us. Moral courage, the courage to do, are empowered by the Holy Spirit. He empowers us to live this life. He empowers us. We can't do it on our own, guys. We have to partner with Him and receive that partnership in our lives. And I want to say, I know that it can sometimes be discouraging. We're not at the destination yet. To be on this journey and to feel like we're not at the destination yet. It can be discouraging to maybe hear that this process, this encounter process, is like the peeling back the layers of an onion. Like God does it one layer at a time. And sometimes that can be discouraging because maybe we want God to take the onion and just chop all the way through us at one time. But that would actually lead to our destruction and we probably wouldn't be able to handle it. This walk, guys, is a journey. It's a marathon. And if you're in it for the long haul, which I hope and pray that you are, if you've said yes to Jesus, I hope that you're in this until you see Him face to face. But we have to see that it's a journey, and we partner with Him every step of the way. Guys, if you were taking a road trip from California all the way to the northernmost tip of Maine, would you feel upset if when you got to the Grand Canyon, after driving however many hours it would take to get to the Grand Canyon, would you feel upset that you were not at your final, that in that amount of time you had not made it to your final destination, to the tip of Maine? Probably not. You probably planned this in your journey, and you would get out at the Grand Canyon, and you would enjoy it, and you would take pictures, and you would see its beauty. It's this journey, it's this road trip that you planned for yourself. And you've got a final destination, but you're going to enjoy every place along the way and every stop along the way, and you're going to make the most of it, right? And life is this journey. And every moment of freedom that God has for you, and every encounter that He has for you, and every experience, and every place that He's going to take you, and everything that He's going to do in and through you are pieces along the way. He has so much for you. Partner with Him in the process. Let the Holy Spirit guide you every single day. Don't be discouraged when you don't feel like you're where you should be after a month in, 2 months in, a year in. Don't compare yourself to someone who's been walking with the Lord 20 years longer than you and expect to be where they are. Own your journey. Live your journey. Let the Holy Spirit guide you every step of the way in the journey that He has for your life. So as we get ready to close, I want to talk about a spiritual discipline, a practice that can really help us walk in the Spirit. And it's the discipline of fasting and prayer. If you'll turn to Appendix C at the back of your encounter manual, we're going to go over, the Appendix C is called Tools for Effective Fasting and Prayer. Guys, fasting and prayer is crucial. It's a vital practice that when applied to our lives, we can see incredible benefits. And it helps us, in this empowerment and walking in the Spirit. So I'm going to go over just a couple of things. I'm not going to read this whole section. I encourage you guys to read it this week. We would love for you to begin a fast this week. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit. Maybe fasting is brand new for some of you. Maybe some of you have some experience. We're going to talk about it a little bit, give you some time at your table so that you can prepare to engage this practice, because I promise you, the benefits of it are so incredible. So what is a fast? In its purest form, fasting is the practice of abstaining from food, either completely or partially, for a specified period. The spiritual discipline of fasting, though, when combined with prayer, is available to strengthen you spiritually and help you overcome barriers that might keep you from living the victorious Christian life. Anybody up for overcoming some barriers? Anybody? Me too. So why is this powerful? Maybe you've heard of fasting. Maybe you've heard of fasting as dieting. Maybe you've heard of fasting from other religions. Fasting is a part of many religions. But as Christ followers, the power of fasting is the connection with prayer, because fasting disconnects us from something in this world, and prayer connects us to God. So if we're disconnecting from the world and connecting and getting more and more focused with God, then we are able to see powerful, incredible results in our lives. There are a few different kinds of fast. There are four listed there in the appendix for you. There's a complete fast. That's going completely without food. Some people do a complete fast and they only drink water. Some drink any kind of liquid or smoothie. So complete fast is going without food. There's a selective fast. So that's going without certain foods. So maybe I'm going to fast sweets or I'm going to fast meat. Those are omitting certain foods. There's a partial fast, which is fasting. A partial fast is like, think of it as part of your day or part of your week. So maybe I'm going to fast lunch every day this week, but the rest of the time I'm going to eat normally. Or maybe on Tuesdays for a month, I'm going to fast and I'm not going to eat on Tuesdays. So it's part of the time, and then the rest of the time is normal. But then the last kind of fast is a soul fast. A soul fast is a non-food fast. But the power of a soul fast is a theme connected in our lives. And it's removing something other than food for a purpose to remind us of what we feel like God is wanting to do or what we're asking God to do in our lives. So this might be fasting social media, fasting electronic devices, fasting TV or music, fasting sleeping in. I've fasted sleeping in before. I've fasted hitting snooze. I've heard of people fasting hitting the snooze button. That's a really powerful and challenging fast to do. But fasting is, we're choosing something in partnership with the Holy Spirit to eliminate something from our lives for a specific period of time with a purpose of seeking God for something in our lives. So however you choose to fast, let it be directed by the Holy Spirit. Partner with God. Ask him how he would have you fast. But then second, we must intentionally set aside time for seeking God in prayer. If you just fast, if you cut out food from your life and you just fast and you're not spending additional focused time with God, you're just starving yourself, and that's pointless. Amen? I'm not going to be starving myself. Fasting, you also may have heard of fasting as a diet, and that's totally fine to fast as a diet. But what we're talking about here is different from dieting. We're not talking about getting rid of food just for the sake of dieting. Because a diet fast is denying the flesh so that the flesh looks better. But a spiritual fast, whatever you're denying the flesh so that your spirit can get stronger and more in tune with his spirit. Anybody want more of that in their lives? Anybody? Okay. So I want to walk you guys through the seven basic steps. If the next page will have some abuses of fasting and also some examples of fasting in the Bible, which I really encourage you guys to check those out and take a look at them. But I want to jump to the seven basic steps for effective fasting and prayer. And we've got the first four, which are the main parts of it, listed here on the board for you guys. And this practice, guys, I learned this in Encounter, and I do this every single time I fast. It is so powerful. So this week, every single one of you guys can do this. You may be like, oh my gosh, I've never fasted before. Oh my gosh, this is what I'm afraid of. Oh, this is going to be. I promise you, you can do this, and he is going to do something incredible, I believe, in your life as you partner with him in fasting. So let's have in store for you. This team, we've already been fasting and praying for you guys, believing for what he has in store for you. We want you to come along in the journey. Take that ownership. Take everything that he has for you. This is one way that we can do it. So the first thing that you want to do when you're preparing to fast is set your objective. Why are you fasting? Are you initiating this fast, or is God calling you to this fast? Or is a team or a church or a group calling you to the fast? We do fasting and prayer together as a church during 21 days of prayer. So what is your objective in fasting? Whatever brought you to the fast, whether it's God, you feel like God laid it on your heart, or you're desiring something from him, or you're in a group or in a church and they're going through a time of fasting together, ask God, seek him, what would he have your objective of this fast be? So an example might be something like, I want God to help me identify and remove obstacles that would keep me from receiving all that he has for me during encounter. An objective for a fast might be salvation of a friend or family member. Okay, so stating this is the why. This is what I'm seeking God for in the fast. You write that in your objective, and there's a place in your manuals for you to do this, beginning here tonight and then maybe finishing it at home. The next piece is make your commitment. So here are the parts of that. You want to determine how long you will fast, determine the type of fast that God wants you to undertake, and determine what physical or social activities you will restrict. So how long are you fasting? Is it a week? Is God calling you to fast for a month or something, 2 weeks or longer, whatever it is? We're asking you guys to make a commitment to fast for 1 week this week. But in the future, how long, what commitment are you making? What type of fast? So is it a food? Is it a soul fast? Are you fasting TV? Is it social media? Are you fasting on your lunch break? What is that? And then what physical or social activities will you restrict? This is where you think through, okay, what am I going to do differently? Because I could fast sweets, or I could say I'm not going to eat meat for a week. But if I'm not spending any intentional time with God that I'm seeking him, then I'm just cutting something out of my life just for the sake of doing it, and I'm not going to get any benefit. So what are you going to do differently in your life? Next, you want to prepare yourself spiritually. And there's several different statements and questions along with these, but I want to highlight a few under preparing yourself spiritually. The second bullet point says, confess every sin that the Holy Spirit calls to your remembrance and accept God's forgiveness. Sometimes as we prepare to fast, the Holy Spirit might bring something to our mind that we need to repent of to him and maybe to a person. And if the Holy Spirit brings something to your mind, you don't have to go through, okay, what have I done in the past year? Is there anything that I need to repent of? But if the Holy Spirit brings something to your mind, then take action. A little bit further down, it says, surrender your life fully to Christ Jesus as Lord and Master. Refuse to obey your worldly nature, your fleshly nature. The flesh is going to come in and say, nobody's going to know if I just eat that one time during the fast. Or nobody's going to know if I just limit myself to 5 minutes on social media. No one's going to know if I just watch one show, whatever it is that you're fasting. The flesh nature is you're going to feel the temptation. You're going to feel the desire because you're cutting something out of your life that you want or need. So surrender to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus in that process. And then the last one there says, do not underestimate spiritual opposition. Satan sometimes intensifies the natural battle between body and spirit. Let me tell you guys, if you prepare to fast, if you are seeking God for something, the enemy does not want you to have it, okay? He's going to come against you. And as you're disconnecting from the world and connecting more to God, the Holy Spirit also sometimes allows us to be more aware of spiritual things. We're more in tune with what's going on. And so don't underestimate opposition, but be ready for it. Be ready for it and pray through those moments. Seek the Lord. He wants to help you. And so when in those moments when you're feeling tempted, or when things got really tense with your spouse or with a coworker, and it just feels like everything's spiraling out of control, it's like, Jesus, I committed this fast to you, and now I'm struggling with all these things, or now I've got headaches every single day because I'm not drinking coffee, or whatever it is. Like, He's there with you, and he's partnering with you, and he's going to get you through it. So lean on him in those times. Number four, prepare yourself physically. So sometimes it's helpful to eliminate certain foods in preparation if you're doing a food fast. So just thinking through what you need to begin eliminating. But preparing yourself physically also has to do with having good conversations, maybe with friends or with family members for accountability. Also, to let someone know if you're fasting TV, maybe you're letting your spouse know, hey, I know we normally watch TV after we put the kids in bed, but I'm going to be spending 30 minutes in prayer because I'm doing this fast right now. Or maybe you and your spouse work together. If you're both here in encounter, maybe you both work together and you can like take a separate part of the house and each go after God for what he is wanting to do in you and your life. So have conversations that will help you stay accountable and will let people in your family or in your life know if suddenly you're not there, if suddenly you're not at the lunch table or something. So prepare people around you. Step five is put yourself on a schedule. So it's really helpful to know what you're going to be doing throughout the day. Know if you're doing a unique time with God, know where that is. End your fast gradually. This is a practical one. If you are fasting food in a significant way, don't let your first meal be something that is extremely spicy, just from personal experience. Your body will hate you and it will show you. But there can also be benefit in ending your fast gradually in a soul fast, and this is what I mean. Sometimes when we eliminate something that feels so like natural, after going without it for a time, sometimes the Holy Spirit might want to talk to us about the amount that was in our lives. And I know that I've come out of fasts with like limits on my social media that I felt like God was saying I needed to take that with me for a time or indefinitely. And so don't just end the fast and, okay, I'm jumping right back in full swing to whatever it was that I was eating or doing. But what might the Holy Spirit want to say as you're coming out of that fast? And then step seven, and I'm going to give you guys some time at your tables to get started on this. The following page, you'll see this whole thing broken down with space for you to begin writing this down. Step seven is the most powerful part of this process. It's expect results. And it's not just expecting, saying, okay, I'm going to do this, and I believe that you're going to do something, God. But it is writing down, not just the one statement, this is why I'm fasting, but writing down what we believe God is going to do. Writing a prayer to him, it is powerful to document it. Don't just say it. Don't just tell a friend about it. Write down what you are believing God to do through your time of fasting and prayer. Again, I do this every time I fast. Whether it's a fast that I'm doing in partnership with our church or our team, or a fast that I feel like God has laid on my heart because there's something I believe he's needing to do in my life, in my marriage, in a family member, write down what you are asking God to do. Expect results. Believe that he is going to show up. Because I'm telling you guys, he wants to. He's got so much to say to you, so much that he wants to do in and through you. And this practice of fasting, as we apply it in our lives, whatever it looks like, it may look different for every person. But as we add that in, it enables us to walk in the Spirit. It enables that fellowship with the Lord, that partnership with him, to become more and more unified, more and more whole. And that's what he's designed us for. That's what he's called us to, guys. There's so much more that God has for you in this encounter process. And it's all about living in more and more of his freedom so that we're walking more and more in step with him and getting closer and closer to him and becoming more and more like him. That's the abundant life that Jesus paid the ultimate price to give you. So before we go to this time at our tables, let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for what you are doing in this incredible semester of encounter. God, it didn't look anything like we expected it was going to look, but you knew all the details. You knew every person that would be in this room. You know every person that you are providing for and enabling to be a part of the retreat of this whole process. Lord, I pray that you would teach us to walk in your Holy Spirit. God, may it not just be something that we do on Sundays. May it not just be something that we do when we spend time with you, but may we learn to walk with you, to allow you to guide our lives every day, every moment, every single aspect of our lives. Teach us to walk in your Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a few minutes there at your tables to begin filling out your seven steps as you prepare for fasting this week.
Well, we want to, as always, honor your time as we wrap up this evening. I just want to say two things real quick. The first thing is fasting is basically this amazing tool that's in your toolbox that we get to use in everyday life if need to, but it's just an amazing tool to take with you. But I want to make sure that you know something. When you start this fast, if you mess up, it's okay. All right, don't think that, listen, this God's not grading you, because if he was grading us, we'd all fail. All right? He's not grading you. It's more about the heart. It's not about the action. God cares about our heart. And if you make a commitment with your heart to fast, and you bobble a little bit, listen, it's okay. God's big enough. He's done some pretty cool things. All right? And if he can walk on water, he can get past your bobble. He has to get past my bobbles every day. So do not put a level of expectation on yourself that you cannot live up to. Do not do a fast. Listen, if you have not fasted before, do not say, I'm fixing to go on a 40-day fast. You will not make it. I promise. You will not make it. So find something that say, you know what, God, even if it's small, because like I said, it's not the size of the fast. It is the condition of the heart behind the fast. And say, God, I'm going to lay this down, and I'm going to replace it with time with you. Fasting is one of the most powerful things. When I need God to move in my life, I go to fasting. So I just want to encourage y'all, and listen, we're not asking y'all to do this. We'll never ask you to do something that we're not already doing. So we're pairing with y'all. This is now a partnership. I told y'all night one, when you sit down at this, let's fast as a family, and let's see God move in our lives, in our surroundings, in our community, in our families like never before. Imagine if God began to transform everybody in this room. The power and impact it would have in our community. Amen? So we put this section in here because it's that important. It works that good, and we believe in it. We believe in it because, listen, I hate giving up food. But I can tell you, when some of the things I've seen God do in my life, it's worth it because it works. Okay? Hey, remember, I know we talked about the retreat. Don't miss it. If you have a question about fasting, connect with your table host. Okay, if you have a question about the retreat, connect with your table host. Do not miss this life-changing opportunity, listen, that a lot of people don't get. A lot of people will never get the opportunity to experience what you could experience in 3 weeks, okay? All right, as we wrap up tonight, hey, we don't have to put our chairs up. We don't have to stack our chairs, but I would encourage you and ask you to grab your trash on the way out. Let's put it in the trash can. We love you guys. We appreciate you. We're so excited to see what God's going to do as we move forward. Hey, it's just now starting to get good. It's going to get real good moving forward, okay? And God's going to do some amazing things. We love y'all. Y'all be blessed and be safe. And we will see y'all, hey, Wednesday night, midweek, 7 o'clock in the chapel, in the men and Angeline room. If you did not come to midweek, do not miss midweek. It's an amazing time. We'll see y'all Wednesday.